in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Listening to a very special episode of VHS Rewind. What is this?
Wait, let me stop saluting the flag for a second. Okay, there we go.
Take a knee. happy 4th of July, everyone. Happy 4th of July, Christopher. How are you?
All right. This is like a special edition.
Yeah, this is the pork butt edition. I don't know if we've ever recorded an episode this early. I mean, it's not that early.
And while you're cooking pork butt.
I said to Christopher about, I'd say 35 minutes ago, I just need another 5 minutes. I said, you know what? Second thought, I'm just going to put a pork butt on the barbecue. I'll call you right back. And you know what? I've never put one together this quickly. It took 20 minutes. And it's about an 11-pound pork butt.
Over charcoal, or you're not smoking it, right?
I'm doing both. I have a method, man. And I'm going to share it, if that's all right with you. All right. So here's first of all, it's the 4th of July today, legitimately. We don't take days off. And happy Independence Day. Happy Stranger Things Season 3 Day. Whatever.
Oh, is that today?
They released it today, yeah.
Oh.
So I really wanted to make this thing. I forgot that I had defrosted it, and I'm like, oh, come on. I bought it when it was crazy cheap. I think I paid $6 for like an 11-pound pork butt. And so have you ever made one of these things?
Not at all.
Oh, you got to do it. You get this big hunk of mass, right? So, which is just, it's just so, you learn two things when you're done with this. One, it's really disgusting handling raw meat, but the other thing is it's really probably very hard to kill somebody by stabbing them, because unless your knife is really sharp, because you have to cut off the fat cap.
I was going to ask, is there fat on this?
I sent you a picture, and the top side is the fat side. I must have cut off, I guess, a good half inch layer of fat that covered that entire mass.
Now, let me ask you this. If you cover that in the rub, I mean, won't that crisp and, like, you want to eat that?
Yes.
Like, okay, good.
So this is going to be about an 8 to 9 hour smoke. And this is a smoke. This is in a Weber kettle. And people are like, well, Mark, that's not a smoker. And I'm going to say it is a smoker if you make it a smoker. So this is what I do. I fill up a chimney starter, one of those metal, you know, Weber chimney starters. I fill it, you know, to the top. I start that up and I get them as hot as possible. And I dump them my method is I dump them on the right side, but it doesn't really matter. You dump them on the opposite side that you're going to be cooking the pork butt, because it's indirect heating. So what you want to do is you want to get that in there, and immediately it's going to be like 600 degrees. So you have to throw it in there and know what your adjustments are going to be. Like, because there's a top vent and a bottom vent. And the bottom vent I have almost closed, and the top one I have, I'd say, a good 70% closed. What that's going to do is take the 600 degree temperature of the coals and bring it very quickly down to about 250 degrees. And probably in about 5 hours, I'll have to add coals to it. But it's going to keep a consistent 200 to 225, 250 for the entire day, for the next 8 or 9 hours. I throw wood chips on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I cover it. And it essentially smokes it all in there because I also put a pan of water underneath the pork butt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what that's going to do is just keep it from drying out. You have to change the water probably every 4 hours, so two or three changes, and that's it. I mean, you take it out when the middle hits 199, I pull it out. I wrap it in foil and I let it sit for about 20 minutes, and then I pull it. You know, and it's like completely amazing. Now, if you're not getting it to 199, if you're stuck at like 190, and you're like, oh, enough of this, like it's been 12 hours. What I will do, and I won't go 12 hours, if by 8 or 9 hours it's not at 199, I take it out, I wrap it in foil, I throw it in the oven at 400 for 20 minutes, and then I turn off the oven. I'm sorry, I put it in a cold oven, I put the oven at 400, when it gets to 400 I turn it off, and I wait 20 minutes, and I take it out, and then it's done. That 400 flash will just simply... I missed you. Wait, I didn't know if I was just lecturing.
Welcome to Two Swinging Ladles, everybody. This is our holiday recipe edition.
It's you know what? I'm already boring myself, so I'm going to.
What? I'm just curious. What's the sides that go with this?
Well, this is pulled pork, so almost.
Oh, you're pulling it? Oh,
when it's done, it'll be pulled pork.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I rub it with very basic crap. I rub it with chopped garlic, garlic powder. You know, I do mix the two. I put cayenne pepper. I put a lot of spicy stuff in it. I put a steak rub, believe it or not. And some people cover it in sugar and stuff like that. Personally, I don't like the way sugar tastes because that gives you a nice crust. And I don't understand why people need more of a crust.
Right.
Like, if you want a crust, wrap the thing in friggin' dough and fry it. and to totally bore you, I've started making pickles. And that's my new thing. I make lacto-fermented pickles, and they're incredible. And they're super easy to make. You can make them, like, right now.
Are you canning? My wife is now canning stuff.
I've not gotten into canning. Because I don't understand it, but I do, the lacto fermented ones, once you put them in the bell jars, they're, you know, as long as they're refrigerated, they're good. But okay. Canning is a whole different breed.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with James Spader?
Well,
and welcome to the Spaderthon, or Spader, whatever
right?
we're calling it.
This is our second episode in our official Spaderthon.
Yeah.
After, what do we do first? Tough Turf?
Yeah, but Tough Turf.
But this is also, if we're keeping stats, this is also episode 2 in our unofficial Lori Loughlin-a-thon.
Wait, she was in Rad. What else?
Was she in Rad?
Yeah, she was. Was she in Rad?
I can't remember. Holy Lori! Oh shit!
Yeah, and she did the dance.
She was in Amityville 3D, if you remember. Holy cow!
Oh yeah,
three Lori Loughlin movies.
You know what? I think we should expand this to the Lori-thon. You know what? Maybe we should generate some money because, from what I understand, she might need some.
Secret Admirer up next.
Oh my God! What else was she in?
I'm done after that. I can't.
The Stamos TV show, and that was it. That's where she made her real cash. All right. So, what are we reviewing today, Chris?
And also, one more stat. It is our second in our unofficial Eric Stoltz-a-thon.
Mask is next. It's not.
Back to the Future. Oh wait.
Well, yeah. For those few moments that exist. You want to hear a fun fact? Of course you do. All right, you don't watch The Office, right?
I do not.
All right, there is a character named Jan in The Office. And there's this whole story that she was supposed to be the, what was the name of the girl, the girlfriend of Marty McFly's girlfriend?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Ally Sheedy. I don't know what her name is, but, this girl was cast as this person, but as it turned out, she was too tall for Michael J. Fox. She was cast to be with Eric Stoltz, but when they replaced Stoltz, Michael J. Fox came in at like 3'1" and, they were like, well, you're just painfully small. So you're painfully tall. So they replaced her with a shorter stature.
Ouch.
And then they replaced that girl again, which I thought was weird. And I'm pretty sure that the girl they ended up replacing, I have to get the whole story right. I'm going to tell that story in the future. There's a crazy twist to it. I love the cover of this particular movie that we're going to cover.
The poster where...
Now, I don't know if that's legitimately the poster they used in the movies.
Is it where she's holding the stick and there's like strange faces behind them?
Yes.
Yes, that is the definite movie poster.
It's pretty modern. I mean, that's something... You know what? It's modern retro. That's I guess.
But it has no bearing on the movie. I mean, what are those faces? The gang never wears masks.
Well, no, I think that might be the carnival rides, which didn't exist. All right, so let's get to our first. What movie are we going to review? Why don't you just share that?
Have we not said it yet?
No.
The New Kids from 1985?
I never saw this movie.
Directed by Sean Cunningham, who gave us Friday the 13th and Deep Star 6.
Oy vey.
Yes.
This has some serious names. This has some serious acting.
Oh, my God. The acting is... way over the top. Way over the top. Everybody.
You hear the plane in the background? Holy cow, that's low. Now, what do we know Tom Atkins from? I know the name I know the actor.
He's from Halloween 3. He was in he had a role in Lethal Weapon. He's been in Night Creeps.
Yeah.
You've seen him around. He's got a cult following.
He was on, and I didn't even know this existed, and you're going to be like, what? Serpico TV series. Did you ever see Serpico
TV series? Is that with David Burney? Like, I think David Burney was Serpico.
I don't know, but it's all... it's 14 episodes.
Yeah, it didn't last. David Burney. They also did like a Shaft TV series. They did Matt Helm. They were doing everything back then. I miss 70s TV.
Well, apparently it's coming back because they seem to be redoing everything again now.
Right?
Too much. Too much. It all started from that stupid Color Psycho remake back in the 90s.
Don't get me started.
All right. You know what? My wife and I just watched. I might have shared this already. She never saw Psycho 2, and we watched it the other night again.
And did she love it?
Yeah, she was like, "Oh, that was a pretty good movie."
Yes,
totally underrated.
Holds up. Yeah. I think we covered that, didn't we?
Yeah, we reviewed it.
Okay, check our archives.
There you go. All right.
Okay, so- what is The New Kids about? You know, this is written by Stephen Gyllenhaal, who is father of Jake. And that famous sister he has, whose name I can't remember. Maggie.
Yeah. Maggie is kind of cute, kind of not.
Kind of not.
Yeah, more kinda. Leaning on the not, but kind of like she's a bad girl.
I think Jake is cuter.
Certainly has a bigger career.
That's how not cute she is.
Speaking of cuteness, let's get over to LL Lori Loughlin.
Who had to bribe her way into this movie?
She seems to have the body of a 12-year-old boy.
You notice every movie from 1985, every TV show, even now, her hair has not changed. It has not aged.
Feathered.
It's always the same. I swear I think it's a wig.
Oh, wow.
It's the same cut. The same length, the same color.
What is she looking like now? Yeah, the color is pretty damn consistent.
But I just dislike her hair. It really affects the rest of her.
You know what? I'm looking.
Just, it no, just does not change.
Now, she's another Long Islander. I just want to point out.
Is that your famous neighbor?
No. I have to talk about my famous ex-neighbor. But Lori Loughlin went to the Hop Hog High School here on Long Island. So nice. She gets her looks from Suffolk County. She's held up relatively well, although I still think for a woman who is only 8 years older than me, 9 years older than me, she looks a lot older than
me. She looks haggard, and she's going to be even more haggard once she starts spending time in jail.
Well, let's hope.
Right. Can I say just one thing? And we'll talk about it more, but she gets so roughed up in this movie. And I think we're all kind of disappointed that it's never followed through. She gets a couple of good punches, like in the gut, and Spader, her with a gun butt, both to the gut and the back later on. She's threatened with lighter fluid in the mouth.
You know, that's a move I've not seen before. The pouring of the lighter fluid and then blowing out the match. I'm like, this is freak. I never saw this movie. And I'm like, why did I never see this movie? I would have loved this movie in 1990 or, you know, what?
1985. Early. Or video.
Well, I'm saying by the time I got around to it, it would have been 1990. But I don't know. It's strange. Let's play the first clip here.
Right? This is Dad. This is Dad Tom Atkins before he unexpectedly and very really quickly leaves the movie. Like exits. After the first 5 minutes?
Yeah. One of the best actors.
This movie wastes no time.
One of the third best actors next to Spader with his friggin' blonde hair. All right, there we go.
Oh, Jesus, Mac. It's the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you guys, off and on, off your backs and on your feet.
Let's go, son. What's the matter? You whack off too much last night? Come on, you can't get strong when you're lying down. Rise and shine on your feet.
Go, let go, let go.
Oh,
reveille,
no.
Reveille. Come on, darling, time to get up.
What'd you diddle with yourself too much last night? Like,
he loves his daughter way too much.
He's creepy. Yeah.
He favors the daughter over the son.
Now, but you have two daughters. Do you ever refer to them as sexy? It's so creepy.
Oh. We're going to practice with live ammo today, Major.
No. Colonel now, sweetheart. Remember that. Keep that in the forefront of that skull. It means more greenbacks to buy designer jeans for this sexy little bot. Come on, let's go.
And he gives her a slap on the ass. And it's like, you do that with your daughters, right? That's normal. I think your daughters would just give you a look and then clock you in the face. And you know what? That's the Hassler move. Stand up for yourself.
It is.
You know, I knew Army life had its advantages.
Yeah. Up and out.
No, it's cold!
All right. So he forces them to work out.
Right? It's like, okay, I know he's an Army dad, but...
It's a bit much.
Can we play this song? Because this is like it fits the 4th of July. It fits America.
All right, here
and
we go.
It fits this movie.
Days are hot and the nights are long.
Sing it.
Live my life to the words of a song. Everybody's got a price to pay. You talk young, just don't look the other way. I'm tired of being pushed away. Turn up, it's got to be a curse.
Do we know who sang that?
Yes, I do, and I wanted to mention that is written and performed by a guy named Bill Ray, who has done music for like so many 80s movies, including Private School, and he is featured prominently in the music episode that was recently done in our archives on VHS Rewind.
Oh,
so check
really?
That out.
You know, it says here, it's a kind of a side note, that singer is actually, that's a ghost name. Like, you know, that's an alias. It's actually James Spader. That would be awesome if this was James Spader singing it. You know he has an album, right? There must be. There must be a James Spader music album where he's singing.
I don't think he went that far to the depths.
Oh, my God. He needs to. Because
oh, ouch.
He needs to. We need a James Spader rock album.
I think he'd be more jazz.
I just watched Less Than Zero the other night. And so I'm in James Spader mode.
Right?
And it's just, I'm ready. I'm ready for James Spader.
He is so great in that movie, but we'll talk about that. That's yes. Next on our list.
It's like his cousin is in this movie. You know, it's like it's the beginning. All right.
Dad's going away because he's being made a colonel, as he mentions. And can we just play the dad leaving section?
Sure.
When I first saw this, I thought the mom didn't say goodbye to the daughter. Like, I thought the mom was with the son because she's a little too attracted to the son.
Mm-hmm.
And dad is like just pawing his daughter before
let me get another grab in there.
Exactly why the kids wouldn't go with them to be this, at this ceremony where he's made colonel, I don't know, but let's just play this so that we get the family dynamic.
Sure.
Oops. Listen up. Don't forget to water the lawn, put out the garbage. Back day after tomorrow, 1300. Don't forget to watch me on TV tonight.
If by the way, I don't know if you feel this way, but if my family was like military and we're talking 1300 hours, somebody would be dead. Like, I would be either I would be dead or I would be in prison, because this is the kind of stuff that just I wouldn't be able to handle personally. He just loves the military just a little too much.
Yep.
So, you've got your orders?
Yes. Hold down the fort, get good grades, screw off as little as possible.
And try to get a couple of good nights' sleep.
You don't have to worry about that.
Next week, we're all going to party. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just you and me.
And say hi to the president for us.
Huh. Will do.
We're all real proud of you, Dad.
We're all real proud of you, Dad.
That I want to say that the brother, whose name is Lauren in the movie, and his name Shannon in real life for some reason. But anyway, he looks so much like the guy from the Terminator. What's his name? Michael Biehn. I mean, it's like he's like the younger Michael Biehn. That's the way he looks.
I'm going to look him up.
Look him up and you'll compare the two.
Here's the rest of that clip.
Thanks, Lauren. It's about time these armchair bastards gave me this.
Okay, now, the only thing off-limit in the fridge are the T-bones. Here, and I'll be disappointed if you don't spend it all.
Thanks, Mom.
Okay. Oops. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye. Have fun.
Okay.
Bye, grunts.
Bye.
Bye, Dad.
I'm not talking to your sister.
I mean, in that opening montage during the song, the workout, I mean, that wasn't just like a run. They were like down on the, you know, going under barbed wire fence.
Right. I mean, personally, when I was watching this, and again, it was my first time watching this, I thought that this was going to be an action-packed movie where they would have to use these skills constantly.
Constantly? No.
Yeah. No. Just
but they do come in. Sort of.
Andy, yeah.
Lauren turns into, not Lori, Lauren turns into.
Lori Loughlin, right?
A little Rambo towards the end.
Yeah, but you know, she, I don't know. I wonder if people look back now, you know, and they wonder, do you think the conversation ever came up where they're like, Lori, you can take off your top?
We're going to talk about that, but when Spader is menacing her by pulling down her pants, and he's like rubbing her like vagina.
Yeah.
With blood. You know, I could swear that must be a body double because you never see her in the same shot. It must. And I don't think the ass that we see on Laurie in jeans matches the ass that we see in the underwear while Spader is doing that.
You have an ass double. All right, let's. Here's the next clip where they get some tragic news about.
And so mom gave them money to. I don't know how long mom and dad are going to be away, but they gave them money and they spend it all. Watch what Lori's bringing in to this party that they're having. It's Popeyes. They ordered Popeyes.
Is it Popeyes?
Chicken.
Oh, man. Hey, here we go.
Estimated as 2,000. Government officials call the demonstrations communist inspired.
Popeyes and Tab. one can of Tab, though.
Well, it's not going to happen. They're not going to show it.
Today, one of our own local boys.
Hey, there it is.
Presented with a special presidential commendation for Bauer. He single-handedly subdued five hijackers on a Boeing 747 last October 14th. The Williams negotiated for over 4 hours with the terrorists who threatened to blow up the plane.
They were going to blow up the plane and my dad saved them.
And now he was a negotiator, he says, though. So
and now we live
he's
in a
not a man of action.
And the way the military thanks us is they let us live in this 800-square-foot house.
America, fuck yeah!
I don't know what ever happened to these friends, but they seem to have really turned their backs later.
Hey, Jimmy, this is your date.
Of 154 passengers.
Hello?
The president noted that
yes, speaking.
A commander of special forces in Vietnam.
Is it her? Hold on a second. No, Jimmy, it's not her.
75
major
missions against
terrorism. He sounds like Matthew Broderick, by the way. I don't know. Shannon, who I just noticed, decided to give up acting after making this movie.
He did nothing. Nothing. I was surprised by that, but nothing.
Yeah, I'm surprised too.
Forces of tyranny on alert. Let them think twice.
Shit gets serious.
Keep it down.
Innocent civilians.
Shut up.
And will not be tolerated. And now here's Bob.
Yes, I can name that tune in two notes.
You're sure.
I used to yell like that when people were being too loud when I'm on 777 film. Shut up!
You yell like that at the Boy Scouts?
Yeah, exactly.
What is it? Man said Mac and Mom are dead.
Killed in a car crash.
They call him Colonel Mac. I don't get it. My question is, did they finish the Popeyes? That's a lot of Popeyes.
Is Popeyes good? I
think Popeyes.
What is Popeyes?
Popeyes
is that chicken?
Yeah. I'm going to say I never had it, but I'm going to guess it's exactly like Church's fried chicken or Kentucky fried chicken. Or any of the other kind of fried chicken
joints. I've had KFC.
Yeah, me
too. KFC. I've liked it.
And I was surprised. Well, here's the thing with KFC. It's really good for the first three bites, and then you're like...
This is so crazy.
It's like pancakes, you know? It's kind of like, you know what? I want pancakes. And then after a couple bites, you're like, I can go another 5 years without having pancakes. It's no waffle, is what I'm saying. All right. All right, let's see.
Can we have to play the funeral scene because I want to talk about after this scene the basic premise of what happens next because I'm not really sure this is how life worked even back then.
It's just funny because you know the funeral probably costs like, you know, 15 grand. They couldn't throw some of that cash to the kids.
Well, I'm assuming that the army paid for that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's one of those things.
I mean, that's part of my point. Like, I thought the army would take care of the kids to some degree.
I would think that the somebody in the military has some level of insurance, especially when they're meeting with the president.
Right. And all right, there's a dropped line where, so-and-so is going to take care of the house and other things, but...
But they don't own the house.
But they don't own the house.
No, the military owns it. You know, it's one of those.
Okay.
Yeah, they
okay.
live on a military base.
So there's no will. Dad left nothing.
Yeah.
Mom left nothing.
And they have some Medal of Honor, and that's about it.
And the flag.
Oh my God! Damn Trump!
Wow, this really is. This is all like happenstance, but this is really a good tie-in to the 4th of July.
It really is.
It's about a downed American hero.
Yeah. It's like a sequel to Jaws. All right, here we go. I don't see a drummer, by the way, but okay.
Nor the friends that were watching the TV.
Sorry, buddy, I can't make it. Sorry about your mom, Jimmy.
Brave kids. You're real brave.
What the hell do they do? What do you mean brave? I don't get it. I mean,
Do you recognize that guy, by the way?
Let me look at him.
Thank you, Colonel Jenkins.
Lauren?
Here's a quarter.
It's Max Watch.
Oh, yeah. What is it from a comedy? What is this guy?
Slapshot. He was the one who's always after the young pussy. And this scene where he gives the watch, like Tarantino must have seen this for, what was that? Christopher Walken gives the watch and gives the story about
putting it
in his ass or something.
And isn't his wife Janet DeWitt? No, I'm kidding.
Looks like wow.
That hair. Oof. Looks like from Happy Days, the younger sister.
Yep.
Brought out by special transport this morning. Listen, come visit Jane and me out in Tucson. We'd love to have you. If there's anything we can do to help, I want you to call us.
We appreciate it.
Remember, whatever you do, I'm with you and ready to help in any way that I can. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
But don't call me on Sundays I sleep in. by the way, it's like, I'm surprised he didn't look at the watch and go, that's a Jap watch.
Coming out.
Thank you, Colonel Jenkins.
Good. Try.
Lauren? Can I have it?
What?
The watch.
Because I was dead.
Lauren! Abby?
The guy with the shortest tie at the entire funeral.
Here comes Ralph Bramden.
Uncle Charlie. Oh, this guy again. It's like, go put that watch away real fast.
Lauren?
Honey, Uncle Charlie.
I guess it's been quite a while, hasn't it? But from now on, you're going to be seeing a lot of me. I'm here to help.
We don't want to be any trouble.
Oh, we're not talking trouble, Lauren. We're talking family now. You know, your father and I, we were very close when we were boys. Did he ever tell you that?
No.
Oh, we never heard of you.
I love you. Whoa. You son of a bitch. And listen, your Uncle Charlie, he's not about to let some dried up old prune of a social worker put you in some foster home. No way.
Hey, my wife is a social worker. Watch your mouth, buddy.
Not even close. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking you both to Florida to live with me and your Aunt Faye. She's a wonderful woman, your Aunt Faye. But wait till you see the place I got. You're going to love it. Now, Colonel Jenkins and them have already made arrangements with the people over at the base to take care of the house and the luggage and all that stuff. When you get off the bus in Florida, I'll be there to meet you.
Hold on. The bus? What? Like, why can't they ride with him?
So many questions. So how is he related?
Can you describe his? It's the brother of their father.
So it's a brother,
it's uncle,
okay?
Yeah.
But they've never met the Aunt Faye. Like, how could that be? And can the brother? Can he do that?
It's been arranged.
It's been arranged. Okay, I guess for plot
yeah.
advance the plot. That's what we got to do. But yeah, I don't know. And this guy is such a sad sack. He just reminds me of Ralph Cramden as this goes along because he's got all these
his amusement dreams. Park though. His amusement park reminds me of Cool as Ice. Remember when we reviewed the Vanilla yeah. Ice epic film?
Check the archives, folks.
When you know that weird house that where they were taking apart his motorcycle, yep. It's like that was the place before. Like that place was what it looked like 10 years ago. And now it just looks like this really scary amusement park.
I think this is how what is it? Santa's something in New Hampshire. It's I used to take my kids there all the time.
I think he compares it to Disney World. Here. I think at some point he makes a reference to Disney World, which I just thought was kind of funny. But you want the right. music cue for the bus ride?
Yeah, let's just have a little brief music intermission.
Sure, I'm going to actually turn on my AC for a second.
On the way to Uncle Charlie's.
It's like 91 and a half degrees up here, so.
Ouch.
I'm going to mute my microphone, so it's going to sound like I'm dead, but I'm not.
By Lalo Schifrin.
I would name that the Colonel song. and oh wait, some of the worst guitar playing I've ever heard in my entire life. The guitar's out of tune. Like, what is he doing?
You want to play that? Uncle yes. Charlie says he's going to be there, but he's late because he's fucking Ralph Cramden.
Yeah, he really is.
Loser.
But I just want to mention, they're on the bus. They don't have any magazines. They have nothing. And she's just showing him the watch. And he's like, yep, still telling time.
Those two together, I was getting like a Flowers in the Attic vibe. Like, they just want to screw each other yeah, as this movie goes along.
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth to that in reality. But I don't know. I think, what's his name in real life? Shannon?
Shannon. Shannon Presby. Oof. That's marquee, like, made, like, Shannon Presby in.
Yeah. Gay films. Maybe he went, maybe changed his name and went into adult acting. Who knows? All right, so here's him jamming out to the newest Fish song. When people play this is considered 1/4/5 blues. And whenever I hear people playing this, I'm like, you done tuning yet?
The old guy in the background there was like digging it though.
Oh, you can't hear a thing. That guy, the last time he heard something was 1961 and backfired in his ear. Guy's the biggest feet I've ever seen. My horn just doesn't stop honking. And he pulls up. You know what? I forgot to look up what kind of car this is.
It's a 1960 something. He's going to explain what it is.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Welcome to Florida, kids.
I hate these cars.
Sorry, I'm late. I got what? Hung up.
No, I mean, they're nice to look at and stuff, but I would never want to own one, is what I mean. They're just, well, these cars are tremendous pains in the ass.
There's always something very big. Wrong. Really?
Yeah. I mean, these are they're usually like rust buckets and they're
isn't that
heavy.
A cat?
I don't think it's a Caddy. Maybe a Buick. Well, let's hear.
Hi, Abby.
Hi.
How you doing, Lauren?
Yeah, trunk. You can throw bodies in there.
Great. What a great car. Oh,
thanks.
What year is this?
1960. See, my theory is 1960 was the prime year of our country. Kennedy was elected, interest rates were 4%, and Elvis Presley was singing Now or Never.
Yeah!
No extravagance was spared on this here vehicle.
Maybe it is a Cadillac. I don't know. I'm gonna. There is a website that's dedicated to cars in motion pictures, so I'm gonna look that up.
It looks like Christine.
No, Christine.
Stephen
is,
King's Christine.
No,
isn't
no,
it?
No. Christine is like a '57 Chevy or something.
Oh,
much older. You know, and bubblier and bigger and and actually is a real classic. this thing, I don't know what that
thing is. Is Christine a convertible? No, right?
No, I don't believe.
No,
that.
No, he isn't. Okay.
So yeah. All right. So they get their jam out. He never picks up a guitar again, I think.
Nope.
Which is good.
And you know
terrible.
What? They made such a deal about that watch. I thought the watch would come back, but it doesn't.
You know what? I think that there must have been something on the cutting room floor, because there's a scene towards the end where the watch is so visual, like it's right there. And I almost feel like he was going to take the watch. And that was going to trigger, like, no, not today, you know?
Not my sister's watch.
Not my dad's sister, you know?
There's a lot of scenes here that seem really, really truncated. Like, there's just abrupt cuts. And I don't know, there's some poor editing in here. As
I
well
think
as
it's perfect.
Filmmaking.
It's a perfect
really?
Film. No. Far from it.
They all right, can we just meet the amusement park, because
yes,
I want
please.
To talk about everything here.
Wait, should I tell the story about the famous person that lived, from what I can tell on a map, 3 blocks away from where I lived?
Was it Spader?
No, it was Stan Lee.
What?
Yeah. All right. So when I was growing up in Hewlett Harbor, we lived on this street called Pepperidge. I don't want to give the exact address. So I lived there probably until I was 9 or 10, and then we moved to Cedarhurst, so which is two towns away. This is a very affluent area, and I live in Hewlett, but this is Hewlett Harbor. Hewlett Harbor's a little bit more wealthy. So Stan Lee actually lived there until 1980. He lived there from, I think, 1960 to 1980. And they have since torn down the house, but it was like this really big house. And I'm like, I had no idea. When he died, people are like, yeah, you know, he lived in Hewlett Harbor. And it was just people like digging up old yearbooks and looking that he did things with the high school, but he also took out like full page ads in the yearbooks saying, you know, congratulations to the year, you know, for those graduates. So yeah, I found out like, within like a four block radius, I lived near Stan Lee. And
nice.
He actually talks about it in an interview, because I think he had his own lake there or something like that. We had a normal house. I don't want to make it sound like we had like this estate. There are normal houses there, but there's also like genuine mansions back there. It's like back there is like the equivalent of like Glen Cove or, you know, like those type of estates.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, it's like crazy back there, dude. It's there are a lot of famous people who live back there and very wealthy people. And I live on the outskirts of where they live.
and they don't let you in. So you're in the tough turf part of town.
Look, I don't like to go. I don't like to boast, but they shop at the same Trader Joe's as I do. but yeah, like, you know, it's. So I just thought that was kind of a cool thing. And I told my son that, and he's, you know, he's a big Marvel nerd. So he was very upset when Stan Lee passed away. I'm like, you didn't even know the guy, but he, that's me comforting my son. So
is he classic Marvel or like Marvel, whatever it is today?
He's getting older and older, which is really great. I just picked up all these Marvel horror comics and I found such a good price. I found this guy does a sale every 2 weeks, and he has a warehouse in this town called Island Park. And I went there, and he was like, you know what, give me a buck each. And we're talking like 1970s Marvel horror comics. So I bought five of them just because I'm like, you know what? They're in plastic. They could just fall apart when I open them. So I didn't want to take a tremendous risk. I got home, and although they're well-read, they're in good condition. They're well worth a dollar. I'd say I would even say that they're worth maybe $5 or $6 each. So I'm going to buy them out next time I go. And he's the type of guy where if I buy them all, he'll just say, yeah, he probably has like about 50. He'll probably be like, yeah, give me $20. So I'm going
to
buy them out.
These things never happen to me.
Well, this was an accident. Like, this is a complete accident. And yeah, every 2 weeks. So this coming weekend, he should be out there. But all right, man. So yeah, I'm going to play this clip where they introduce what is the name of this place again? Funland.
Santa's Funland.
In the middle of Florida.
In the middle of Florida. Ralph Cramden.
But you know what? You see how they designate the oh, and it's also a gas station. And you would think that the gas station, like the pump, you think that would be like wrapped like a candy cane, but it's not. But you know what is wrapped like a candy cane? Old car tires that are half buried in the front of the place and then painted with red and white paint to designate parking spots. It's real fancy here. It's real fancy. And I think this is where he brings up Disneyland. I mean, yep. Disney World.
Hey, honey, come on over here. Look who I found.
Hi, kids. How are you?
They also have very impatient customers, I just want to say.
That looks like something out of like the Flintstones. Like, oh, I guess it's ice. I guess it's supposed to be ice.
It's gray ice. Looks like a dump. I don't know what that looks like.
How big could this possibly be?
I mean, you know that if you were driving by, same as me, you'd be pulling over to check this place out.
I would be thinking like Rob Zombie serial killers or like Captain Howdy is in there or something.
This would be my destination. After Disney World.
Abby?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lord. I'm glad you all are here. I'm Faye.
My gal.
I'll get it. Charlie, why don't you show him around? I haven't had a chance to finish your room, but we'll get to it later.
That's all right. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. It's not much of a room. It's more of a warehouse.
Hear that, honey?
It's more of a storage locker.
I told you they were great kids.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Follow me.
What's so great about
the ground? That? Look at the ground.
What, you mean how everything is dead?
Yeah. It's weeds.
It's like a California lawn, which means there's dead grass.
So, like, right now, if I was the kids, I would be thinking, like, Uncle Charlie wants to put us into slavery to fix this place up. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, buy some Rust-Oleum for all the rust that exists. Buy a lot of it. All right.
Lauren, look.
Chickens. Ducks, geese, we got it all.
That's for the restaurant. You pick them out just like lobster.
This goat over here, her name is Henrietta. She's pregnant.
I do want to point out that I'm incorrect. It is a Cadillac. It's a 1960 Cadillac Series 62.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Just that grill does not, it looks more like a Buick to me. Classic.
This other goat over here, her name's Helen. This calf here, her name's Matilda.
Oh.
Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Look,
yeah,
you.
That matters.
What's the rabbit's name?
I don't believe she has a name.
Hey, baby.
Where do you think she is?
Oh, Molly.
Uh-huh.
Definitely a Molly.
Uh-huh. How do you like it?
Well, it's something.
Yeah, well, I know it needs work. It took every penny I had to get it, but it's worth it. A little spit, polish, and sweat. I can see hundreds of people ambling down these streets. Money in both hands. Well, with Disney World and Epcot a couple hours north, this will be the perfect place for people to stop and route. Little apple.
So they're south of Orlando.
Right. I was going to ask you, can you pinpoint... He says that,
a couple
and then he
hours.
Says the third biggest interstate is only 25 minutes away. So I was wondering if you, you know, you're good geographically. Like, could you pinpoint where they are here? 'Cause
As he talks,
I've never seen a Florida this depressed before.
No, well, this, you know, when I was a kid, this was what I thought of as Florida, because, you know, we would drive through places like this. I think I might have even seen Lori Loughlin with her collars.
Ouch. Oh, yes, those collars.
Oh, my God.
Appetizer. Now, consider this. We're only 25 minutes away from the third biggest interstate in the southern United States. Now, do you have any idea how many cars travel that road each and every single day?
No, sir.
Neither do I. But you can bet it's plenty.
Full
but
facts.
Pause right there. So pause right there. So just for later, look at Lori's butt and the shape of it in those pants.
Right
and
now? Then
we'll, yeah, right now as he's saying. Hey, 20.
All right, hold on.
States. Now, do you have any idea how many cars travel that road each and every?
Yeah, she's got,
pretty I mean, shapely.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we get to threatening that little Tizo later on in the movie, yeah, it's well, it's a totally flat Tizo.
Maybe it's Shannon. It could be. We'll give you an extra $20. Just put these panties on. So of course they have to be registered to be in school. He shows them where they're going to live, which is essentially just the most depressing thing of all time. But they make it into kind of a cool place, and they do have to stay together, which I think is...
Flowers in the attic.
It's very hot. And speaking of
there's
hot...
There's no AC in there, and no, it must be hot there. And look at the what is that, metal walls. It's got to be freaking hot in there.
Yeah, like when it's 90 degrees, it's probably 110 in there.
And look at the size of the beds. They're worse than the army cots.
But you know what? How many people do you know who have gym lockers on the outside of their house?
Those are for the paying customers, not them.
Get away from those. Don't cut yourself on that. You'll need another tetanus shot. So they're, you know, they're clearly kind of upset a little bit by it, but I'll play the reaction.
Oh, God, you kids must be starving. Look, I'll get the grill going, and we'll have ourselves a little celebration with burgers and dogs. All right?
Dogs? You gotta kill a dog? And there's also this weird animal head on the floor when they're talking. I don't know if you noticed this. Do you have the video playing? It's yep. 1522. It looks like a stuffed animal with antlers, but I don't know. Or really bad taxidermy.
Ooh, what is... It must be like for one of the... You know,
oh, that's
true. Around things.
It's just, it's creepy as hell.
Sure.
And what do they have as a mirror? They have a fun mirror.
Well, it could be worse.
How?
How?
We're supposed to sleep in here together?
Yeah. Well, I'll rig up
flowers in the attic.
Well, like the man said, it needs a little work. Hey, Lauren.
Huh?
What do you think?
I think it needs a little work.
Very funny.
Hi, beautiful.
Come on, you're such a hot dog.
They're very touchy.
Flowers in the attic.
Yeah, they're very touchy. They love to do it in front of the fun mirror.
I have to say, these kids roll with anything that happens in their lives.
Right,
their parents are dead.
They're over it.
Still chippy.
They were very close to their – well, to their dad. I don't think they even met their mom. And it's just – yeah, it's like eh.
Oh, we're going to live with Uncle Charlie and be forced into child slavery. All right. It could be bad.
It's like 3 days later, we're in Florida. You know, when it's – they're fine. They're not having any problem adjusting. And that's another thing. They have no problem adjusting. But I guess that's what you're saying.
Yep.
If here they are in school, and you know, I'm gonna guess this is this is pretty tough math. Like this isn't like
I was trying to figure out just what he was asking and how I'm supposed to figure that out because I've forgotten everything I've learned about algebra.
Let's see what he's saying.
Equals 8, then y must be equal to what? Now 3 times 8 squared plus 1/2 y squared equals 264, right? And 3 times 64 plus 1/2 y squared equals 260. David, would you please? Thank you. 192 plus 1/2 y squared equals 264. And 1/2 y.
Hey, it's Eric Stoltz.
With a bad haircut.
Eric's, yeah, he does have a pretty bad haircut.
This is after Wildlife, right? I think so. I think that was 84.
So, I don't have it in front of me, but
he was on a roll here.
Yeah.
Equals 72. Would you kids please? Y squared equals 144, right? What does Y equal? Miss McWilliams.
Why would you call him the new kid, right?
It's okay. Take your time. Miss McWilliams?
I can't say.
The answer is 12.
Are you retarded?
How is that 12? I can't figure it out.
I lost patience in between his just jabbering on a fact. So they're in school. Stoltz is showing her the answer, which I'm not really sure if it was correct. I couldn't see the paper. It would have been funny if it was wrong. So I think this was his endearing way of saying, hey, let's go and have a relationship.
I want to be crude for a second. So behind the scenes, who do you think nailed Laurie? Was it Eric, James, or Shannon?
I think maybe Stephen Gyllenhaal at best.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, maybe she had to bribe her way and sleep with the director.
I think she was untouchable.
She gave it up to him.
I just have a feeling she was untouchable. I genuinely don't think that she... I get this whole Christian chick thing from her. Like, she just does not do it.
She doesn't exude, like, super sexy. Like, I'll tell you who's really hot in this movie is Lauren's girlfriend, who is going to come in later. She is smoking!
I'm forgetting her. But once I see her, I'm sure it'll click on. But
should we meet the gang?
Yeah, we have to meet the gang. We have to, and we have a Slater. Slater, yeah, not Christian Slater. Spader with very blonde hair and even his eyebrows.
He's an albino.
And stuff.
Yeah, he's like albino esque.
And here we go. He also has that kind of flamboyant Floridian attitude, you know?
Now, we got to talk about these gangs because just listen to their voices. They're like Kentucky accents, like Southern, like redneck. And I was like, would you see this in Florida?
I don't know. You get some weird areas of Florida. I'm still trying to figure out where they might be located.
Even when we see the gang hanging out, they're doing things like rednecks in the Appalachia.
We're talking about in the middle of Kentucky or Tennessee.
Right, like raising pit bulls and making moonshine.
Yeah, it's some hardcore, awesome stuff.
I just can't figure out where they are in Florida that they would get this kind of crowd.
By the end of this clip, I'll have an answer.
Everybody looks way too old to be in high school.
There's also not one black person. Oh, there are a couple black people in
the background.
The teacher
was black.
You know, character-wise. This seems to be a trend in the 80s. I noticed the same thing going on in Less Than Zero.
What, no black? Well, they were affluent, so in Less Than Zero. So I don't think you would see people of color in that environment. I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Even as a stereotype, you turn them, you know, where do you buy your drugs? You know, from the black guy, you know? he does everything wrong, the black guy. So, all right, here's the clip of the gang. And watching this in the current Me Too, I guess, world, it's very crazy that this was considered even slightly okay at some point. And it wouldn't be, right? I mean, this, even when you were a kid, never would this have been okay, this stuff that's going on. Even what she does, she elbows the guy in his stomach as he's just kind of running behind her being a goofball.
And seems to hurt him really bad.
Yeah.
The mole is good for it, I think. How's everything going?
Fine.
Who's that?
She turns around and smiles at them as well.
Right. And the who's that? That's Gideon, who's like suddenly enraptured by Lauren because he's like, "Who's that?
Who's that?"
And can I say, I mean, half this gang looks gay. Spader looks a little flowery.
Spader seems to be.
And Gideon looks a little gay.
Now, is Gideon the not the guy who got the elbow? He got the. He's the one who really starts pursuing her, right?
Right, right, and spits on her.
Spits on her. But you know, it's really kind of crazy because, I just lost my train of thought when I was just thinking of the spitting thing. They all right, it'll come back. All right, here's the clip.
Oh, don't worry, that's just your brother.
I'll see you later. I gotta go to class.
Okay, bye.
I think that's the girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, she's
the girl
all right.
Behind her. Like she is short. Smoking body. I'm sorry to like really
overly
be so crude in this Me Too
sorry
day.
Sorry to appreciate
age.
Her. How she's so different than men.
Oh man,
to appreciate her feminine attributes.
Oh yeah, that is her. So you don't get to see her now. She's not introduced, but later on she wears some revealing things.
Nice. What?
Suddenly, I'm in class of 1984. Where's Michael J. Fox?
Excuse me, darling.
A lot of this is more visual than I realized. But so we have Shannon. I'm going to keep calling him Shannon.
Right.
Waiting to use the water fountain. There seems to be a line. It's the smallest water fountain I've ever seen in my life.
He's got to bend over like double.
It's like 2.5 feet high. It's like everybody here is like 6 foot or taller. And he's in front of a girl. Like he's not even being nice enough to let the girl go first. So the gang kind of cuts the entire line like, hey, no cutting.
And so, beating up on everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Come on. Hey, Gordon. Hey. What?
Don't cripple him, Joe Bob.
Watch your mouth, boy.
Come on, see if there's more fish in there, dude.
You're the one. No.
I'll meet you in the cafeteria later.
This dude loves spitting.
Yep.
Something bothering you, cousin? No. Nothing ever bothers me.
Well,
if I was you, I wouldn't bet no money on that.
Actually.
I'll lie. And the guy behind him is just like this meathead. Yeah, tell him again. Yeah, tell him again. All right, so I found the exact location of where this was filmed. It's actually in a hotel, Hotel Redland.
Okay.
You still there? Okay.
Yeah.
It's in Homestead, Florida.
Where the hell's that?
It's south. I mean, it seems legitimate. Let me see. What would be the distance? I want to find the distance to Orlando. Give me a second here. But it's a hotel that's still open. And it looks all right. It doesn't look too bad. It is about 4 hours south of Orlando. It's really at the tip of Florida. It's even more south than Miami.
Dope.
But yeah, it's Hotel Redland. There's Yelp reviews, pretty good reviews. And I'm going to read one of the negative reviews, if that's all right. It's something when Betsy and I are on like a road trip or something like that, where we're driving really long and we're looking for a place to eat, we'll get bored and we start reading the negative reviews for places.
Okay.
Because it's just kind of funny. Made a reservation with this hotel through booking.com. I received an email with a confirmation number. This hotel made a mistake on the cost of the room. Received another email saying that they are going to charge me double for a two-night stay. I called the hotel, but they would not honor the confirmation email charge. Bad business. The customer is not first here. In fact, the person at the hotel hung up on me. That was Cliff E. pretty good reviews, actually. The place looks halfway decent. Looks like they cleaned it up and put a coat of paint on things. But yeah, Hotel Red Lion in Homestead, Florida. I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Yes, please do. I want to look at that.
So yeah, we have, by the way, it's a whole other show that I always think about doing is
doing a travel show.
Well, a travel show, but reading just the negative reviews, very, you know, because some people go nuts on Yelp. It's so funny.
They do. And, you know, they scare me. Like, I was looking recently, we went to the Jersey Shore and I was looking for hotels. Mm-hmm. And I would read those reviews and, like, they scare me. People broke into my car, people in the parking lot. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you go, I'm going to just choose a random place that's popping up. Taqueria Los Coyotes, and that's in San Francisco. And I'm just going to read, I'm going to go to the reviews, and I always start with most critical. This review is kind of shocking, even for me to write, because I was a longtime customer here since they opened, to be frank. I just love it when people don't know how to write. They genuinely have good food here and are pretty reliable with late night hours. However, the service here blows. I feel pretty disappointed because the man used to be pretty nice to me, the one who's always at the cashier. But as the years have gone by, he's taken out his bitterness, it seems, on, in all caps, loyal patrons that supported the business since birth. Since birth.
Dope.
So, yeah, my last time there was finishing off a fish taco, and I keep reminding myself, they have fake freaking chips, dude. Get over it. Find a taqueria that could do both, which is be nice and have real nachos. It's just ridiculous. Who's writing this? Who's so mad? Like, it's a taco stand. Relax. I love it. I love Yelp reviews. All right, back to the show. But yeah, that's what we'll do for like an hour, just reading like bad reviews.
That could be interesting.
Yeah,
that
it's fun.
Interesting.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun for everyone. The good reviews aren't any fun.
No, this is true.
All right, so Dutra. We learned that James Spader's name is Dutra, right?
You know what that means?
You know, did you ever find out what that means? I don't know. It's one of the worst names ever.
I think. What is that name? I want to know what that name is. He's got some great fleeting line readings, but I'm not sold on this performance. I think, and it's not him necessarily. It's like the direction, but right, and the writing. But he's got some great line readings here.
Dutra is an incredibly sarcastic and sadistic yet funny person who is too often right and always knows it, and he makes sure you know it too. I never heard of that. All right, so
let's do the gang hanging out, only because they make a bet.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And they're in the backyard just shooting guns at glass jars and making this like spider from Goodfellas put the bottles up and kind of reset the entire scene, which I think is scary as hell.
Chase, big old prize got against beating that rental pit coming up
from
Arkansas.
Shooting toilet seats.
Is that what that was? I thought it was like a big lock, like a metal lock. I was like, no, how is that?
Next time you look at it, it's a toilet seat. And they have this big mean dog. Oh my God. Did we get a name on the dog?
Not on the dog, no. But
shit. Go to look at that dog.
What?
That dog has the greatest fate in the world.
Yes.
Dog in if it wasn't going to win. Set him up. You ever lost any money on a Dutra?
Not yet, not bad enough.
Fuck no, that's one hell of a dog that is.
Shit, Gordo, you missed.
Go on, set him up.
Shit!
I say we stage a little fight between that new bitch at school and Mooney.
Well, where are we going to find anybody to bet on the moon?
Oh, shit.
But I think that's all that guy says. Oh, shit.
Boy, I'd like to fuck her. Yeah. I'm on top of that. Oh, just a pushing and a pulling.
Take some doing, though, getting in those pants.
I can get it.
Says who?
Says me and 50 bucks.
Me too, I can get her. Fuck her black and blue.
I'll put a little money on again. We can pop that little cherry.
Fuck her black and blue.
Just a pushing and a pulling.
Now these are some men right here. Oh my god.
Hell yeah. 50 bucks says I get her first.
Well, I'm always glad to help a fool. Any other takers?
50 bucks in 1985, man, that's a pretty good bet right there. Wow. And then just shooting and shooting, never reloading. Just boom, boom, boom.
I was born at night, but not last night. That girl and her jerk-off brother wouldn't give you the steam off their shit. $50 says she won't put out to either of you assholes.
Dutra, you always been three bricks shy of a load anyhow. Shit, that ain't funny!
I'd like to see where these guys I do know where they end up. So the next scene is they're working on one of the scariest roller coasters I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right? And this is Uncle Charlie with his business, and this is why he is Ralph Cramden. We have to play this because Uncle Charlie is the biggest freaking loser.
Yeah, he explains the business. Is a 17-year-old kid working on a roller coaster.
I just made $7 more. Place is going to be a gold mine.
Oh, Ralph?
Good. At this rate, we'll have the entire park open in no time. You know what's holding us back?
Huh?
Cash flow. On account of the generator. Self-contained electrical unit lighting up the entire park on gas right out of our own pumps. See, Lauren, what we got us here is a 2-day-a-week income on 7-day-a-week expenses. Mm-hmm. It's a night business that counts. That's what's killing us. Now, I know where we can get that generator. The only goddamn thing, though, this cash flow plug. Okay, Abby, let her go.
With any luck, it'll derail and kill them both right now. And I would not go on this roller coaster. This is why I don't go on roller coasters.
This is why I don't go in any kind of traveling amusement park if Elvis isn't singing in it in Roustabout.
I have a quick write-up on the hotel, if you want to, in real life, this one.
Is this from Yelp?
This is actually from familyvacationcritic.com. But it gives a price and everything, which this is the thing, is there's no amusement park. So I don't know where the amusement park was. The Homestead, Florida city area's one hotel with character. It dates back to the early 1900s within walking distance to downtown Homestead's restaurants and stores. It also has its own whistle stop restaurant. Its dozen rooms, renovated in 2004, each have a personality of all their own that reflects the hotel's historic nature. They're small but outfitted with all conveniences. Room 201 and 202 are adjoined for convenience to families. So you can book it now, which is probably the very popular time. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people are going down to Florida right now, but
right now, no, it's freaking hot.
But it's summer, so I mean, you would imagine, you know, it better. Well, I guess winter would be the better. So it's $60 a night, which isn't bad at all. Connecting rooms, they have family rooms. You get free breakfast, and they repeat that complimentary continental breakfast.
I wonder if they're in the hurricane zone.
Oh yeah, I mean they were at the bottom.
They're right there, right?
Yeah, This is, you want to see a hurricane, you go to Hotel Redline, located at 5 South Flagler Avenue in Homestead, Florida.
Rates are cheaper when a hurricane's on the way.
No refunds. So, so let's see. So he explains the business, basically saying, "Well, you know what I need."
Right. That's his way of saying it. Like, look, I'm giving you hot dogs and hamburgers. The least you could do is give me a couple $1,000.
And I know you're working here for free, but so this is my favorite scene coming up. This is where
Dutra becomes Dutra.
Well, Dutra really kind of lays it out and gives the opportunity to Lori Loughlin to step up her life.
I mean, I wish I could ask girls out like this.
I don't. Is this asking out, or is this just flat out asking if you can rape them? It's like asking permission to rape. But here we go.
For the adults and two children.
By the way, not a bad price. Adults are $2. Children are $1. All day.
Depends. Is that all inclusive? Like the rides are?
Of course not.
I only saw. Oh, there was a Ferris wheel, and there was the little. That can't be a very big roller coaster. So that's not for adults, I don't think.
Well, yeah, if you could fit it.
And then there's the animals that you can pet. And that's it. That's all that's here.
What do you want for $3? Oh,
it's a merry-go-round. Sorry.
What do you want? It's $2. That's what he says, you know?
Seven off today. Yeah, thanks.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Santa's Funland. We're on the way, Joe. Abby, honey, can you get that? Step right on in there.
Come on. That ass.
Oh, man.
That
ass. Yeah. But... You know, I am looking at that, but I'm also looking at Dutra's van, which is probably the coolest thing in the world. It's like a Scooby-mobile.
You know that there's, like, fur and a couch or something in the back.
Big time.
Hi.
We'll fill it up, please.
Regular?
Yes, please. You know there's a dance Saturday.
Yeah, so I heard.
You going?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I'm going. Go with me.
Why?
Well, because I'm asking you.
So?
That shirt.
By the way, I just want to mention that that is a 1965 Ford E100 Econoline van.
You that know is... vans, too? I knew you knew
no,
cars.
No, I have a website. This particular one is a website. It tells you basically all the vehicles in any movie. I love this website. It's the Internet Movie Cars Database.
Okay.
Link to it in the show notes.
I'm asking you. You will have a good time. You'll go, right?
Look, I don't know. We haven't really met. I'm sorry.
He slams his head on the van in frustration. Now... A normal person probably is thinking she's not saying no, actually. She's
right,
just saying,
she
I don't know
said,
you.
Yep.
All he really, I mean, in real life, all he really would have had to do is go, well, look, we're meeting now. How about we, if you have time, why don't we grab some lunch tomorrow? And then he's in $50.
Instead, what we get is
we get the probably the response that we all would want to give a girl when they say no. The music.
Oh, you owe me $4.
Give me bullshit about $4. I'm talking about a dance here.
Look, I have a lot of work to do, so could you just give me the money? That's $100. I can't change that.
That hair.
Listen, I'm asking you nicely. Are you going to go with me?
I don't think so. Thanks. Here's your change.
I'm Dutra. You know what that means? You know, I come in here and act decent, and you turn me down. Well, I don't fucking believe that.
crazy.
Crazy? You want crazy? Well, I'll show you crazy.
She's like, I want to marry that man. He's so cool, man. It's not even funny. One rejection, and it's like,
psycho.
You are crazy. Nobody's ever turned down Dutra.
He's never asked before.
It's never really put out too much about why Dutra has money. Because he lives in a normal house, right?
Well, they... When we'll see later, because Lauren's going to get revenge at one point and go into Dutra's house while he sleeps in his underwear. Very homoerotic scene, by the way.
Yes.
And he discovers like drugs and stuff, and there's drop lines here and there about the business, this drug business that Dutra seems to be doing, but we never see.
Yes. So we have now the next scene is in the library. Lori Loughlin is at a microfiche machine, which
Remember
I'm
those?
Sure you've used. Yeah, I think it's a microfiche, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, those are pretty old school and fun. And what other movies have these type of competitions existed?
Wait. You got to give me time to think of that. Where they bet somebody.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
There's been
lighthearted.
What am I thinking of?
All right, I'm going to play the clip as you think of it, though. But it'll come to you because it's a pretty common 80s
trope.
Theme. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell is the bet? Oh, man. Oh, I cannot think.
Here we go. By the way, where do they get such tight shirts? And belt buckles.
At a gay clothing store.
Yeah, and in total classic 80s fashion, he's wearing a sweatband on his wrist. Awesome. This guy might have been, I mean, if I keep calling him Christian Slater, I have to really stop that. If James Spader had turned down the role, I would imagine that this Gideon character would have been a good replacement.
He does have that. I mean, again, he's overboard in a minor role. Can you imagine what he would have done with no. Dutra?
Well, he's a number two with Dutra.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Gideon Walters. My friends call me Gid.
This seat is taken, Gid.
You're gonna wreck your head with all this stuff.
What stuff?
All this stuff, books and shit. Gonna tire out your brain.
Yeah, well...
He goes and rubs her head. Almost thrown the wig off of her head.
This is the library.
What you need is a drive-in.
He's chewing gum like a complete... These people
acting.
Have no manners. Holy moly.
Tell you what.
He takes the gum out of his mouth and he deposits it underneath the desk.
There's a picture I've seen out there 8 times. You're going to love it. It's called Saturday Night Girls. You'll come back a new person.
I've already seen it. Listen, if you don't mind, I have work to do.
I ain't gonna ask you again.
Okay.
So, is there another? Is there more to this? Actually, I think he is.
What I mean is, you ain't gonna.
Well, when he spits on her.
That's on this scene, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
It's a chance. Now, what day are we gonna go out next week?
We're not going out next week. Now, if you don't mind, I really have to get this finished.
All right, how about the week after that? You ever been to a dog fight? I mean, a real dog fight.
I don't want to go out with you.
Why not? You think you're too good for me?
I'm not interested in finding out.
He He's shaking his tongue at her.
Did you get lost? Would you like me to call a teacher?
No, you don't gotta call nobody, baby. You just sit right there and rot.
Ah, hey!
Oh my god. Unbelievable, right?
And she rolls with it. Like, she's, I think she got some on her, but she's like, I'm just going to roll with that.
And it cuts to the microfiche. So she's reading about a brother who's dead from a Buddhist-led forces in Saigon bloodbath. What is she reading about?
She's just watching his spit, like, roll down.
It's disgusting. Now, I just
And then Eric Stoltz was right there and didn't do anything. Like, good boyfriend.
I'm glad he left. I just looked at the time. We have to really ramp it up a little.
Oh shit.
It could be a long episode. I'm just saying we're only 27 minutes into the movie. All right. So,
but the last 20 are all like the attack, and there's nothing to play there. All right, wait. Let's play every scene. Every scene with Dutra in it.
Well, he needs paint. You know, we need more paint. So they go into town. And,
wait, can we do one more scene before that?
Yeah, of course, because we're leaving out the money thing.
The money, but also, I just want to play every Dutra scene. Right. So if you go to the, I don't know what number it is, 2836, this is where Dutra comes to the cafeteria to apologize.
All right, hold on. This is a little early, but here we go.
He only's picking on you because you're a pretty girl.
That was Eric Stoltz trying to get in there.
Hey, Adam.
Hey! Here, you can have my shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Lauren, this is Mark Orfield. This is my brother, Lauren. He's tutoring me in algebra.
Hi.
You know, Lauren, I think that she likes you.
Who?
Over there in the blue sweater.
Yeah, she's okay looking.
She gets hotter later.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I can take that.
Well, make a move, boy. Go over there and fast talk her.
Well, I'm the strong silent, you know? Me too.
Yeah, right. This is him. I'm going to make a rose.
Oh, ooh, you're looking good today. Don't you think she's looking good today? You know, I was just saying to my friends, you're looking better and better every day. Kind of makes coming to this place more fun. Just knowing you're walking around looking as good as you do. Gives me something to look forward to, you know what I mean? And about the other day, you know, I wanted to apologize because I understand you didn't know me. Who I was.
What happened the other day?
We had a difference of opinion.
Anyway, we know each other better now, don't we? And I'm real glad that we're going to be able to spend some more time together, too.
Watch my lips. No.
You know, bitch, you had your shot and you just fucked it up.
Okay, buddy, clear off.
What are you, made out of mouth?
I don't like you.
What are you, made out of mouth? I love that.
That is that I'm using that.
What are you made of? I'm going to say it to my kid.
I don't like the way you talk. What's that all about?
That was Eddie Dutra. It's about as much fun as a rabid dog.
He asked me out the other day. I said no.
I don't like him.
Don't? Well, better get in line. The man gives new meaning to the word unpleasant. Best stay out of his face.
Eric Stoltz, the stereotypical nerd.
Right? Doesn't want to do anything.
Like, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not getting involved.
You wanna get in that girl's pants, boy. You gotta, like, up your game.
Yeah, he's playing the long game.
I really thought I thought they set up a lot of things. Like, when they said at the beginning, when they first arrived at the amusement park, the goat is pregnant, mm-hmm. I was like, that goat is meat, fresh meat.
But you know what? It goes so many other places. But yeah, I mean, it's It gets bananas at the end of this movie. So if you haven't seen this movie like I was in that situation, see this movie, because I think this is such a wonderful 80s movie.
I thought Eric Stoltz was dead meat. I thought that girl that falls for Lauren was dead meat. They don't go there. But they do go after the animals.
Yeah, they really go.
This movie is animal kill heavy.
Yeah. So I'm going to play the more of Uncle Charlie's Business, because kind of
– because we love Uncle Charlie and his –
well, actually, I think we could –
Ralph Frampton's sense of business.
Yeah, and his numbers are like, whoa, if that's true, you're going to be really loaded. That's a telephone to the people who don't know what that is.
How you doing, Miss Clark? Well, hell yes, we made a deal, didn't we? You checked with the bank, got my down payment, right? Well, you know how investors move when they see an opportunity. I just got myself a little infusion of cash. Well, you hurry up then. This is costing me money every day. Well, pleasure doing business with you, too.
Who is that?
Oh, I just made a great deal on a diesel generator. I'm going to be able to light this whole place up for almost nothing.
Oh, Ralph.
It's working great now. You got to come out tomorrow and take a look at it, eh? Well, that ride alone could bring in $25,000, $50,000 a year, pure profit.
Charlie, I love you.
Wow, they're really in love. So, Charlie, I love you.
But I hope this isn't going to be another disappointment for your sake.
Things are going to be all right, honey. Things are going to turn out just fine.
Great line here.
But you know, he really is Ralph Cranman. I mean, they have no kids. They, no curtains.
Soon enough, we're going to be farting through silk.
That's almost as good as, what are you, all mouth?
What are you, made of mouth? So, I think, we find out that Uncle Charlie's money, his little influx of cash, kind of came from their tremendous inheritance. I'm going to play that, because that's really eye-opening, because you have to wonder what kind of money these kids have.
Right, well, listen to the numbers, though. Listen to the numbers.
The numbers are very
scary. How much I gave and how much is left.
Right, and prepare to be mortified.
Right, the army does not take care of its own.
Not 1985, anyway. I don't think they do now either. And this is another thing. We get to see the room kind of cleaned up for the first time.
You know that girl that was looking at me at the cafeteria when he said, like me? I had a funny thing happen with her today. I was out on the track just cooling down from a workout. And she came jogging by. Actually, she sort of came jiggling by.
Oh, who talks anyway. Like that to your sister?
She flashed me this big smile, and I walked into a wall. What do you think? I'm over my head?
Flowers in the attic.
I can't sleep. Can you help?
You gave him more money, didn't you?
Now, this is another thing. She said, you gave him more money. So there was another time, I guess, that she's referring to, where this is at least the second time, right? I don't remember there being another time. And it will be a third time, actually.
Real pissed.
About the money?
How much did you give him? Why didn't you ask me before you gave it to him?
Abby, it wasn't a whole lot of money. We have to help out around here.
Do we have any left?
Yeah, there's a little left. He said he wouldn't use it unless it was absolutely necessary.
How much was it?
It was $2,000.
And you don't think that he's taken that and sunk it into this crazy place by now?
I don't know.
Meanwhile, we get a view of the outside of their conversation. And there's a guy outside spray painting with yellow spray paint.
The gang is back.
Yeah, the gang is up to their old antics, writing bitch and other things.
Of course he has, Lauren. He should shake us into it, too.
Would you please stop talking like that?
Why? It's the truth.
It's not the truth. This is our home now, Abby. They're our family.
Lauren, that's all the money we had in the world.
So the old gang is running over walls, spray painting, destroying things. Now, that's all the money they have in the world, $2,000? I missed right. that number. So it's a little bit, you know, have a bank account. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem to be enough money.
Don't keep it under the bed.
But I could have sworn they referred to another amount of money, but maybe not. So,
well, there's the money where after the car gets wrecked,
yeah,
he's got to give some money for that. And I'm like, why would he have to give some money for that?
Yeah. So what happens is after they destroy the entire park, they spray paint. No, they don't know who it was. They call the sheriff. Now, ironically, the cute girl's father is the sheriff. Kind of cool, right?
Yep. And she is smoking hot.
She's all right looking.
And she's hot for Lauren.
Yes.
Or Shannon.
Whatever their names are. So they're painting and they're covering up and they're refreshing and they need some paint. So Uncle gives the caddy keys to Lauren.
Shannon.
Go get the paint. Shannon. I cannot keep track. To go and get the paint. So should I play that? Is that a verbal thing or is that more of a
visual?
It's
not really. I mean, they go into town. The gang messes with the Cadillac, scratches it up.
Yeah, keys.
Cops come by. They're not very helpful.
As usual. But they know that what's his name? Dutra is the type of guy who's definitely responsible. But they can never catch Dutra doing anything, right?
Right.
So,
and that's why Shannon goes Rambo.
Well, I'm going to go to where Uncle sees the car.
Right. And look, again, this car has been built up. It's his prized possession. And watch how truncated this scene is. I mean, it's just – it's 30 seconds max.
This would be a very expensive car to repair, by the way, because the type of paint to match it and they even in the 80s, they didn't make paint like this anymore. It's like the kind of paint that they used to paint this originally in 1960. They just didn't. They stopped making it. So here we go. It's kind of horror music. It's that music isn't bad. The score.
I see.
Doesn't look so bad from about 20 feet. I would just go, look, it matches your shit shack of a friggin' playland now. That's what I would have
pulled
say.
In with the other side facing it.
I would have peeled in and smashed right into the, to the truck. Said, oh, the brakes went out. Oh, that's really bad, too.
My God. My car.
I got the paint. It's like gung gung.
Now, action Dutra's about house. To happen.
Now Dutra's house, where apparently all they own is that van.
No, he's got a house.
Well, you think it's his own house? I mean, he must have parents.
I was wondering, is he living with his parents or what?
I think he lives on his own. You think? I'm surprised there's not a girl in bed with this guy. He's Dutra.
Or one of the other guys.
Dutra would make a great name for, like, some type of He-Man character or something.
If you look, I don't know if you're going to play the scene or whatever, but as Lauren Shannon is coming into Dutra's room.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to do that, definitely.
You go around the room, like, Dutra has a picture of himself framed right next to his bed.
Well, from what I understand, it's modeled after James Spader's actual bedroom at the time, where he was just in love with himself.
It kind of looks like the one he had in Tough Turf.
Also, don't we get... Oh, no, we don't see it yet, but his tattoo is shown in this. Actually, I think his tattoo is shown in literally every movie so far that I've been rewatching. Now, this is very uncharacteristic of Lauren, right? I think, you know, him breaking into a house and... kind of kidnapping somebody?
Like, I didn't know he was already a – I didn't know he was already a Green Beret. I thought he was – dad Dad must have trained him well.
But, you know, like, this is right up there with, like, a sexual assault type charge.
I thought he was hog-tying him like something out of Cruising.
Like, we're going to have some fun. That music. It says here it was James Spader who recorded the score on bass.
It's a weed business that he's got going.
This music. Kung, 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 kung. It's like Planet of the Apes. Dr. Zayas. He's got the stereotypical turntable.
I wish I had that now.
That up pretty cheap. You know what he has? One of those maces. You know, like it's like a stick with a chain with a ball with spikes at the end.
Yep.
Who has those?
Dutra.
Dutra. He orders from the Ninja catalog. He's just sleeping in blue tidy whiteies. I mean, well, tidy blueies.
Tidy blue.
You want me to get you?
He stuffs like a hacky sack in his mouth or something, and he has a knife to his throat. I mean, this is like going to prison type stuff. Oh, yeah, and there we go. We get the view of the spade on his right shoulder. Mm-hmm. Of the tattoo, and it's the outline. In the future, it gets filled in. So his tattoo has had multiple sessions.
I came here to accept your apology and payment for the damages to my car. Get up.
It's like ASMR. Here's a sign in there. It says Sunday service. So it's like he stole.
What is that about?
He stole a sign from like a church or something. It's like amazing.
Get out. My, my, Snow White.
So he pulls out a bag of reefer joints.
I think there was also a bag of Coke there, too.
Yeah, because he goes, my, what, something white, right?
Yep.
So.
There's the picture of Dutra on the wall.
Where's your money?
Where?
Where's your fucking money?
I don't see it.
Wait, coming.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
It's like from 3 days before this.
Right? The red shirt he was wearing earlier.
And more weapons on the wall. I mean, Dutra could just like grab something and slice this guy's head off.
Take over a small country.
He's got a skin on hanging on the wall. He's got an army ammo can. This is where things got a little kinky.
This is for the car. Will you even hear me? It's over.
So.
Now, do you think that's going to scare him off?
It's
no.
Over. It's over. So, the next day, basically, Lauren gives Uncle Charlie the money to repair their car. Uncle Charlie's like, I don't care where the money came from.
I'm going to take it.
And yeah, so that's a very good parenting move there, Uncle Charlie.
Right? This guy, man, is such a loser.
He really is. He takes their money, takes more money. He holds it against them when something happens that they didn't do. Just, it's crazy.
Do you want to play the next scene with the gang and training the pit bull? And
yes.
Dutra has a great line with his accent. Just now, listen for the word bullshit.
Now, I know I was talking about making pickles before. I always choose these different hobbies. I'm thinking about training pit bulls.
Right? Jesus Christ.
Oh, my. This is like the most it's the worst thing that people do, I think, is this type of behavior. But in this movie, I'm sure the dog is just beautifully trained.
And I thought that this was going to be Spader's fate. Like, he was going to get eaten.
But nope.
No, that's reserved for.
And it's one so of the much lesser. Worse than that. It's so much worse than that. So here we go.
Jesus, man, look at that shit. It's like a goddamn spigot.
Tell you what.
I just heard a big boom. I don't know if that was a firework or somebody smashed into my car or something. So I'm just gonna take a quick look. Nope, my car looks okay. All right.
Sure, it was not your house. Right. Not your house.
Yeah.
Dutra is coming over there.
Chab off. Stick that on into your mouth.
Get a joint if I do?
You get the back of my hand if you don't.
I'm old enough to show a dog shit, but I ain't old enough for a fucking toke.
You watch your mouth, boy. You're going to wind up talking like a fucking hoodlum. Now go on.
All right, Brad.
That's what being pit bull's all about. Love and blood.
They poured the chicken blood on the rope, and then they let the pit bull go and run and I guess, gnaw on the rope.
Right, and then they lift the rope up, so the dog is off the ground, but he doesn't let go.
Well, what happens is, I think they do this to build the muscles in the dog's neck. Because, you know, it's the dog playing.
How long do you think she'll stay up there, Gid?
As long as we let her. Once she gets that taste of blood in her mouth, there ain't nothing gonna get her off this rope till she's ready.
Who the hell told you to put the dog on the rope?
Oh, come on, Dutra. We always work her this way.
You bucking her, Gid? You want me to cut her down?
Hell, you got her up, leave her up.
She's a fun little puppy.
Right? I would hate to be an actor in this scene. Is that a real pit bull or what?
Well, you know, I have a tiny little poodle and I have a tiny Maltese. And this is what they sound like when they're like playing. I'm not even kidding. they both growl and they kind of wrestle. But I mean,
like,
no, they sound like they sound vicious. But then you look at them and they're just playing. But...
Hey, Dutra, can you front me a little shit till Wednesday?
Trying to run fucking business here, Moon. I ain't fronting nothing.
You know I'm good for it.
Money talks, the rest is bullshit.
Bullshit. Bullshit. B-O-E. Shit. Bullshit.
Take you to raise.
Let's hear that again.
Shit till Wednesday?
Trying to run fucking business here, Moon. I ain't fronting nothing.
You know I'm good for it.
Money talks, the rest is bullshit. I didn't take you to raise.
Awesome. I'm taking out a little visit up Fun Land. Let's just let it alone.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm saying we might.
And I'm only saying I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I'm just thinking that.
Well, what the hell are you thinking for?
You ain't turning chicken shit on us, are you now?
Chicken shit's got nothing to do with it. You know, I never backed down before.
You want out? You're out. I don't want to see you. I don't want to know you. You see me coming, you go the other way.
Of course, he agrees to stay in the gang. We're going to stay completely in the gang.
I love Dutra's shirts. I really wish I could wear those. I really wish I do.
They're like cowboy shirts or something. You can wear them. You can find them. Oh man, where do you find them? Wow. All right, so the sheriff goes to Dutra's place.
Kind of threatens Dutra and the gang, but not really.
It's a lot of the same stuff.
I thought he was going to get killed. He doesn't get killed. This is when I thought, oh, well, now they'll go after the girlfriend, who's his daughter, you know, but that doesn't happen. This could have had a body count, but it doesn't really have a body count until
the end.
Until the end, and only the bad guys get it.
Lauren strikes back, beats up Gideon. Your note of, oh, yeah, well, I'm saying he strikes back, but Lori goes to take a shower. I didn't even know they had their own shower.
Right. And they don't. They share it.
You think.
Showers in the attic.
You think Dutra's going to, like, attack her or rape her and God knows what. But no, they put a rabbit in the shower.
They killed Molly the rabbit from the beginning.
Delicious.
Later on, we'll see the goat has been killed as well.
Yeah. Well, you need goat blood for what's coming.
Here again, I thought we were going to get, some Lori Loughlin nudity, but nope. Not even a bloody double.
Now, we have a similar scene here with the locker room.
That was in Tough Turf,
was in Tough Turf. There's a lot of – it definitely shares a lot of similarities. So here we go. Remember he goes, turn it up. That's a good one. No boombox in this one. And just like a normal guy, there's like five urinals. He chooses the middle one. And in a creepy way, a guy comes and stands next to you and starts looking at you.
And he doesn't like recognize him or something. He's like, he doesn't say, oh shit, I'm in trouble already.
Well,
like,
I would say that he's in trouble at this point because the guy's peeing on him.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
What the fuck's the matter with you, man? What's your problem?
You know how comfortable you have to be with so many things to just pee on somebody? Like, just walk up to them and pee on them? This guy,
His only reaction, Shannon's only reaction is, what, are you nuts? He doesn't move or anything. He lets the guy continue to pee on him.
It's almost the same response that his sister gave to Dutra when she first met him. These two are too polite. Dutra never ever wears the same shirt again.
He's got a great wardrobe, man.
Yeah, he does. Is there a line? No words. Wow.
Dutra doesn't need words.
It's very visual. So you got to see this movie. All right, let's see. Back at home, Lori cries and you wrote Rocky Montage.
I want to go with Uncle Jenkins, Colonel Jenkins in Arizona.
Yeah, so she's thinking about reaching out to the guy in the beginning who said that he was going to. You can reach out to us any day.
Wait, you want to play the scene? Because it's a Rocky Montage where Shannon is recuperating from his beating and he's, you know, getting back into shape.
Yeah. And now, this is where we see the watch again, by the way.
Yes. And remember at the beginning, there's a dance in a week. So the dance hasn't happened yet. So all of this stuff is happening within a week, including this recuperation.
All right, here we go.
You still having trouble breathing?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm feeling better, though. How you doing?
I called Colonel Jenkins today.
Yeah? How come?
I don't know. I just keep thinking about Mom and Dad and how things used to be. So I know that Colonel Jenkins is as hard as nails, but I think that he's a lot like Dad, and I just had to talk to somebody that had their shit together.
You know, they just bought a new house. And their dog just had 3 puppies. Oh, Lord, I feel terrible.
Get a hold of yourself, woman.
Right.
It's so hard to be strong.
Let me hold you.
Yeah.
You're gonna make it, kid. You gotta be strong. 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 Gotta be strong.
These are hot.
Gotta be strong.
America? Fuck yeah.
Be strong. Be strong. Not a bad song.
That is an anthem.
Yeah.
That is an anthem.
So the amusement park is open for business. And we're gonna rake in some cash finally. We're gonna recoup.
Anybody home? Lauren, you about ready?
Back here, Karen. Okay, Uncle Charlie, let her rip.
Again, visual, but
so he still finally, doesn't look very impressive in the dark.
Yeah, it's kind of like the equivalent of like when somebody just puts Christmas lights on their house,
or nice. Lights in their backyard. You know, you string lights.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's exactly it. Yeah. Well, it's 1985. They probably didn't have weatherproof lighting that came at a cheap price and no LEDs. So what is next? Lori goes to the dance.
So, I mean, here, the rest of this is like...
Yeah. It builds up stuff. To the crescendo.
They go to the dance. Lori is menaced.
I say we go right to the cunt thing. Right. Because it's probably the best part of this entire thing. And there's still 28 minutes left.
Right, and it's all like this attack, and she's kidnapped... And she's threatened with rape, and the fat guy has got his pants down, and the lighter fluid in the mouth. That's what I just couldn't get over that.
Yeah, the whole lighter fluid.
Like she's not even coughing or spitting it out or anything. She's just like,
yeah. And that stuff is. I mean, I'm sure they're using water, but that stuff would be very volatile.
Right.
I'm gonna play probably the. The crowning achievement in this entire movie.
She's gone!
They have shotguns out. They're looking to kill.
That fucking cunt, I want her dead! Oh, we have to...
This sounds like a Planet of the Apes line, too.
Fuck! She's gone! That fucking cunt, I want her dead!
Oh, James Spader.
Can you say cunt anymore? I bet you can't even do that anymore.
You can on VHS Rewind.
Cunt, 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 cunt.
There you go. See you next Tuesday. So they're all getting decapitated.
They use the amusement park. I don't know why they go to take her back to the amusement park. And they're going to kill Uncle Charlie as well.
There's a fun mirror scene.
There's a fun mirror scene. The guy gets tossed off.
This is what it sounds like for the most part for 20 minutes. Seriously, this is it. Yeah, it's like this for 20 minutes. That's essentially it. It's all visual.
The visual, I don't know if you can cut it to post it on our Facebook page, but the scene where the pit bull gets it, like Dutra just
Well, why don't you explain what happened? Because it is so violent.
Uncle Charlie is being splattered with blood from, I think, from the goat.
Yeah, but we know why.
That has been, because they're going to let the pit bull loose on him. And Dutra is threatening him with that. And Uncle Charlie pulls up those reserves of strength and gets out of the grasp that he's being held in and spills the blood on the fat guy, whose name I don't know. That's why I call him the fat guy.
The guy with the MAGA hat. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Shit. We're going to get letters now. And
Chris
the pit bull
gets
loose and attacks him. And he's killed that way. And Dutra is so upset that he shoots the dog. And this is the only on-camera death. It's the dog. So I don't know how they did it, but I'm sure they didn't shoot the dog. They just yanked it back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was just – but, yeah, it's just like, boom. Yeah.
It's like right there. Like, you don't see the guy get eaten by the dog. You don't see the guy's head actually come off. You know, right. This is Sean Cunningham from Friday the 13th.
And this is another example of what's going on for 20 minutes. He has Dutra's head on the rack, on the what is it? The rail for the roller coaster.
That's Gideon's head. That's Gideon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Gideon's head. And that little was Gideon's head getting
right
popped.
Coming on. I wonder if that would. I guess it would happen on.
Oh, yeah,
a roller
totally.
Coaster like that? Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's why you wouldn't be able to really have access to the – I mean, you could just stick a piece of metal on there and make the whole thing derail. wouldn't be very nice.
And it doesn't derail, though. I thought that would, like, really knock it off track or something, but I guess
what,
not.
What, a piece of meat?
Yeah.
No way. Essentially, what is it? Gideon's killed, obviously. Everybody's killed.
Yep. And then it's just mano a mano with Spader and Shannon.
And what do you think? A sequel?
I kind of like the way
I can see this being
the
a sequel.
Very last scene where Uncle Charlie has turned this to his advantage in terms of the amusement park.
The bloodbath at Funland. I'll
right.
Play some
I don't know
of
if
that.
You want to play that yeah. clip. And because it sets up the sequel with that little kid that yeah. was hanging out with them, which I thought was
yeah,
great.
I think that would be pretty awesome.
Miss Williams, a survivor of near fatal gunshot wounds and an eyewitness to the bloodbath at Funland. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they called it. Believe me, when they called it that, that's what it should have been called.
They got rid of all the dead grass, by the way, at this point. It's just dirt.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So hurry, folks. The guide tour is going to start in a minute. Oh, it's $2.50 for adults, $1.50 for the kiddies.
Notice they raised the prices.
He's smart. He's smart.
Big sign says, see where it happened.
Educational and inspirational. See where it happened.
Educational and inspirational.
Crazed vandals paid the ultimate price.
Here you go, F.A.
Thank
Uncle Charlie was right. It was just a rotor.
Oh, good.
Abby, we got a picture. Just give her the camera. All right.
She wasn't there. It did not totally involve her.
Everybody, smile. Thank you very much. I'll step right over there. I'll be with you in a minute.
Uncle Charlie?
Yeah.
Have you seen a marker, Karen?
No. Not today. Hey, Lauren, look at that crowd. Everything's coming up roses. Do you have any idea how much money we're going to make?
No, sir.
Neither do I, but you can bet it's a bundle.
You bet I'm going to lose it. I'm investing in a business called Crazy Eddie. He's going to lose it all.
Hey, honey, how much we taking at the box office today?
Okay. The
Listen, we cleared $2,300 last week, and that is over and above the $2,000 we paid back to Lauren and Abby.
And that's all you're going to get from us.
Knew we'd hit it big.
Oh, you're waiting.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the tour.
My public grows impatient.
Charlie, don't you think you ought to tell the kids?
No, I think it can wait, Faye.
Charlie, tell them now.
Tell us what?
Your daddy's friend, Colonel Jenkins, called this morning from Tucson.
Yeah, he heard about what happened down here, and I guess he figured maybe... Well, it all boils down to this. He wants you and Abby to go out there and live with them.
We'll understand if you want to go. But...
Yeah, but we'd sure like you to stay.
We need the help.
We think, right. Abby.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this is where I live. I'm home.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
That's wonderful.
Hey there. Sorry I'm late.
Hey, Karen.
I got my daddy's car, but I know what's wrong with it. It's not going to
fall. Where's Mark?
He's waiting for us down at Obie, so we probably should get going.
Hey, Lauren. Take the caddy.
I don't know, Uncle Charlie.
What do you mean you don't know? Take it. Have fun. Beat the hell out of the damn thing if you want to. Tell you the truth. I was thinking about buying a Maserati.
Oh, Ralph!
Come on, we should get going. Mark's waiting.
You guys don't need your own car, do you?
Yeah. Hi, you folks. My name is Charlie McWilliams, your tour guide, and I'm going to show you where each and every one of the dope crazed vandals met his gory end. And you just follow me right in here. And let me tell you this, folks. You can all sleep a lot sounder for knowing that we've seen the last of that bunch of fuddy loonies. Here we go, folks. Right this way. You won't want to miss a single minute. Now, you've read about it in the paper.
I think they could pull off a sequel to this right now. Think about it. I don't know. Lori Loughlin probably needs a role, you know, and she could be coming back to this town to go to the funeral of her uncle.
True. How old would that kid be now? Yeah.
This kid probably be my age. You know, this kid is probably how old? Like 12 here?
Yeah.
So he'd be my age.
Right? And wanting revenge.
I'm pissed off. I'd kill people.
He's making money on the death of my buddy.
You know what? Honestly, like, you can just see, like, the opening scene being like, I guess the cunt's back. Well, Christopher, thank you very much for getting together this July 4th.
Yes, I hope you're going to play that song, the end credits song, yes. One more time.
I'm going to play it
for America.
For
play
the exit.
For America.
I am. But I'm going to play it as we exit. And thank you very much. Have a very safe and wonderful July 4th. Also to all of our
You too.
Listeners.
And I want to know how that pork comes out.
Oh, I'm going to post photos. Oh, sounds wait, the
yummy.
Pork. No. I'm going to take a picture as
I
soon as I go down.
I hope somebody turned it.
No, you just leave it.
Oh, you leave it? You don't even have to turn it over?
Nope. All right, man. Here's the song, and just stay on the line after the song.
Yep.
Days are hot. Turn!
ways. Wonders way.